Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey Podcast.
I'm Talia Franks, media critic, fanfic enthusiast, and random guild called me stylish.
And I'm Lucia Kelly, expert in applied analysis, and I'm stuck on the other side of the ocean, and I'm very mad about it.
And we're here today for a Wibbly Wobbly minisode.
Today we'll be talking about Gallifrey 1, 32nd to Midnight.
Because it made me think about too many things, and I have to share them with Lucia.
Gallifrey 1, 32nd to Midnight took place from Thursday, the 17th of February, 2022, to Sunday, the 20th of February, 2022, in Los Angeles, California, United States.
Reminder that time isn't a straight line. It can twist in any shape, and as such, this is a fully spoiled podcast. We might bring things in from later in the show, the comics, the books, audio dramas, even fan theories and articles.
With that out of the way, apparently there are Muppet waving angels. So let's get in the TARDIS.
So this is going to be a very informal episode because I basically just want to talk to you about Gally because I was so sorry you weren't there.
I'm genuinely like, I made the decision a while ago not to go for various reasons, but like mainly COVID. And since you guys, like, I've been hearing so many wonderful stories and anecdotes and things that have been happening. And I'm like, God, I wish I was there. I wish I'd been there to just be there and meet everyone and like connect with fans and just be able to and also like on the off chance we met someone who was listening to us, that would have been really fun. But yeah, no, I was stuck over here on this side of the ocean with no content and no fun.
I did swim in the Pacific Ocean though, in Santa Monica, which means we have touched the same ocean.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. But okay, hold on. I wanted to adjust my microphone so that you could be sure to hear me when I, right. As I said in the intro, I shrieked a little bit, not sure if you heard properly, but Mandip Gill, Yaz herself, called me stylish.
And you sent me a photo, and I hope you put that up on the Twitter as well. Talia was wearing the coolest, funkiest, like orange pattern jumpsuit I have ever seen.
It was not actually a jumpsuit. It was high-waisted pants and a crop top with a matching jacket.
Ooh, it was very funky.
I did not post it on our Twitter. I posted it on my personal Instagram. I did not post it on our Twitter, but I can share it on our Twitter later. But yeah, it was such a great time. I met Joe Martin. We want the same superpower.
Which is
we both want to be able to speak any language in the world, in the universe, be able to communicate with anyone, anywhere, because that's not how translation works. But if we could communicate with it, because, okay, so it's not how translation works. Like, you can't just speak one language and have it be like your native language in your brain and then speak and have everyone understand. That's not how language works. That's how the TARDIS translation circuit works. That's not how language works. And that's not actually how the Doctor is able to speak every language. The Doctor understands every language and he's able to then talk to people in their languages. That's how he's able to speak to cats. Anyway, but the point is, I want to be able to speak every language and therefore be able to talk to every person in their language, on their terms, and have us have full understanding and communication between us. Because the thing is, different languages make you think differently and understand differently. And so anyway, there was this moment in the meet and greet with Joe Martin where, like, I asked her what her superpower was going to be. She originally said invisibility, but then when she asked me what I wanted my superpower to be and I explained to her what I wanted it to be and why, she was like, that's awesome. I also want that. And so now we both want the same superpower. And also I was cosplaying as her and she really liked my cosplay and Amanda Ray, and then also someone who also does cosplay. And we all were dressed as Putative Doctor. Joe Martin really liked our cosplays and so started taking a picture with us. And it was just really great because it was so great to meet her, but also it was great to know what it meant to her because she talked about it in her panel, that it's just really meaningful to her to see especially Black women, Black femmes cosplaying as her, cosplaying as a fugitive doctor, because representation is so important. And seeing that representation, not just on screen, but like at conventions, like out in the world, and seeing that impact has been really meaningful for her. And I just like really appreciate being part of that. And also I just really appreciate her existing. Like I have the art print of her like literally hanging over me right now because I love her so much. It was a bit of a spoiler for my roommate when they were watching, because we were watching Dune, and they're like, there's this person right up there that I like know is the doctor. So like they knew that Ruth was going to be the doctor. But yeah, it was just so amazing to get to meet her and get to have that experience. And just to like meet like everyone, all the cast. I also met Jonathan Watson, who plays the Centauran commanders. He doesn't play all of them. There's also, oh gosh, who's the other person who plays the Centaurans? It's great. Dan Starkey is the other person who plays the Centaurans. He wasn't there. I love Dan Starkey. I love his Centaurans, but Jonathan Watson plays the Centaurans in Flux. And he's so nice. He's so friendly. He gave me a new appreciation for the Centaurans, who, as you know, I don't super fondness for as, but yeah. And he was talking about like how long it takes to do makeup for the Centaurans. Apparently you have to sit there for 4 hours, but it was just, yeah, it was just so great to meet actors and see behind the scenes stuff. Also, full disclosure, I paid probably way too much money to go to meet and greets and drink receptions to get to meet actors. Like I met the Sarah Jane Adventures actors who were there, Tommy Knight, Anjali Mahindra. They were both like fantastic. Ronnie and Luke, for those of you who don't know actor names, they were both.
Did you just forget Luke's name? Did you just forget Luke?
I did not forget Luke. I did not forget Luke. I promise.
My heart is broken.
Love Ronnie and Luke. And we were talking about like how like important it is. And one of the things that I was talking to, and they talked about this in the Sarah Jane Adventures panel, but also I went to one of the drink receptions. So I got to talk to Anjali about this, like one-on-one. We were talking about how, I mean, one-on-one, there was like other people at the table. But we were talking about like the importance of the Sarah Jane Adventures and the importance of children's television as just like being more groundbreaking, and how like Sarah Jane Adventures has gone places where mainstream Doctor Who like wasn't able to go for even sooner. Like Luke coming out on the show, it didn't like fully happen until the Goodbye Sarah Jane, like I think was when it became explicit on screen, but it was planned to happen the season that never got finished because Elizabeth Sladen died. That was going to happen back in 2011, was it? And that would have been like major to have a main character out and have his like sexuality and his like whole arc be a major part of the show, and not just like, for all that people like talk about Captain Jack and how he's like groundbreaking or whatever, he's really just set dressing. his sexuality and his like, in his like, he's basically there as spectacle. Like he doesn't feel like a fully actualized character to me.
Definitely not on Doctor Who.
Not in the way that Luke is. Yes, there's Torchwood, but like Torchwood is its own mess of things.
Torchwood is a mess unto itself.
No.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you mean. Captain Jack on Doctor Who is very much a, God, what's the word? It's like a spectacle character. He's there to shake things up. He's basically there to be a firework display, right? Like you're there, he's meant to be looked at and be like, oh my gosh, Captain Jack. There's very little actual characterization or depth given to him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, I remember when Luke came out and it was like it that happening was groundbreaking to me personally. And like, of course they couldn't continue with that story, but I would have loved to see it.
Yeah, when did that happen for you?
It was 2011, so I was
yeah, cause I don't remember, because it didn't really happen in the show itself though.
Yeah, but I do remember, it's a very vague, like, I remember seeing the scene though. Like, I remember him talking. I remember seeing the scene where Luke is talking about.
No, because it's not like, I really just rewatched the Sarah Jane Adventures. I don't remember it.
Was it a cutscene, maybe? They definitely filmed it because I remember seeing it.
Yeah, but like I don't know. Maybe I'm just like not imagining things correctly. Like,
it remember it comes being, out. Google help.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I saw this scene. I swear. Because I remember being, mainly I was blown back because I had a crush on him at the time. And I was like, no, because I did not yet realize many things.
I think, like, the thing is, like, Luke wasn't confirmed as gay until the special in 2020. I think there was scenes that were, like, filmed from those like scenes from those episodes that never got released. Like, people were like, it was like announced that it was an arc that was supposed to happen. I think some of those cut scenes were like released and people were able to watch them unofficially. But like, it wasn't confirmed like in the canon of the show until the short that was released in 2020.
Are there any comics or any other additional material released for the Sarah Jane Adventures? Continuing on the story?
I don't know. I haven't, if there were, I haven't read them.
Interesting. Because that would be the logical next step. In my opinion. Like, if I was in charge. Anyway, we are getting sidetracked.
Yeah, there are apparently like some online comics that were released in connection to the Sarah Jane Adventures, but there was never anything printed. There was never anything released in print. Interesting. We are getting very off track. But yeah, it was just really great. It was also really great to see some of our friends who we know from Black Girls Create, who For Us By Us. Like, it was just really great to get to meet some of those people, get to meet other people that I've just known online. And it was, yeah, I got to speak on the Whovian Creators of Color panel, and that was pretty terrifying but pretty fun. Like, it was a good experience. And Nicole Black Tardis talks about this in their podcast. It's on their Patreon, but it is available to everyone, where they talk about they talk about Galley in general. And Galley was really well done overall, especially their dedication to COVID safety. Like, everyone was vaccinated mandatorily. There was on-site COVID testing, like mandatory masks, and people were really like on it in terms of making sure that people like stuck to wearing their masks. Like, we were allowed to eat, obviously, but anytime someone like wandered outside of the eating areas, it was, people were wearing masks. And if there was anyone who like forgot, they were like, all they had to do was be reminded to be like, oh my goodness, sorry, I forgot my mask. Like, it was very, and it was just a very chill convention for the most part. There were a few issues, and Nicole does talk about them, regarding moderation with regard to some of the panels. And I'm not gonna go into it too much because I don't want to just repeat everything that they said, but there are definitely moments where I feel like, especially in the bigger panels, the audience and especially the guests would have benefited from some more thorough moderation in terms of how people were asking questions and what questions people were asking, just because this particular moment where someone was entirely out of line, and I really don't want to get into it, but again, go listen to Nicole's podcast. We'll tell you all about it. Get into it. But yeah, so it's just, the thing is that there's a lot of times where moderation is needed to keep the flow of a panel and just to make sure that people aren't taking up too much time asking questions, but also to make sure that the questions they're asking are appropriate, that they aren't like appropriate as in relevant, as in that they're actually questions, not comments, and that they are, and that they're just like not offensive to the people that they're asking.
And
yeah.
Good moderation is a very underappreciated and often invisible sign of a good panel and a good convention overall. Please respect and thank your moderator. Like if you're at a convention, take the time to thank moderators, because they do so much work to make sure that you guys are having a good experience. And it really is most of the time pretty thankless work. And it's really important.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess one of the only other things I wanted to talk about before we wrap up is, of course, Fasman. Because there were several panels in which Fasman came up. And Megan Gill herself said, Fasman is canon now. But one of the things that she did say, and I did, again, perhaps shelled out a few too many coins, but Amanda Gill's meet and greet. And while we were there, one of the things that she said was that as far as she knew, and like she knows pretty well, she was playing Yaz, like, Fasman isn't something that was planned from the start, but is something that like ended up growing pretty naturally out of her and Jodie Whittaker's chemistry. And especially because she and Jodie actually had become such good friends and had so much chemistry that they had to tone it down in series 12. Because Yaz and the Doctor weren't supposed to be as close as Mandip and Jodi were.
That's a bit adorable.
And I think it just speaks to, you know, the closeness of their friendship, which is honestly really beautiful. And I think they're definitely like, I just really loved, especially the energy and the real love with which everyone who, like, all the actors there spoke of Jodie with. Like, Jodie Whittaker's Doctor is one of my favorite doctors in the entire run of Doctor Who. Like, her and Peter Capaldi are my two doctors. Like, those two are my doctors. I think that especially because of the care with which and the love with which everyone speaks of her, really, really just makes me want to meet her. It makes me wish that like she had been here and that I could go to a convention where she actually is. That would be amazing. I did not actually get any autographs or pictures with Sacha Vlam, but I did get to go to a drinks reception where he was. And oh my God, he is just as charismatic, like off screen as he is on screen. Like, literally, he does a little smile at you and you feel like you're gonna melt on the inside. Like, and it's just, it's scary, honestly. Like, that level of charisma feels dangerous.
Thank goodness it's in good hands.
Perfect casting for the Master. Oh my goodness, shivers down my spine, honestly.
Chibnall, write another Master storyline 2023.
but from what people were, I was picking up what some people were putting down. I don't think we've seen the last of the Master.
Mm-mm. No way. He's too good. No,
way too good. But, sorry, I lied. A couple more things before we go. I do not understand where some people are coming from with some of their energy.
Isn't that always the way?
I have a few points of grievance. First of all, now I'm not naming names because I literally do not know who said this. Like I did not even see the face of the person who said this. There's someone at Galley who said that they thought that Yaz and the doctor had a mother-daughter relationship. And I don't understand the like need for so many people to see Yaz and the doctor as anything other, like to see their stories anything other than a love story. Anything other than, even if you don't want to call it like a romantic love story, anything other than, I don't understand why people have so much energy for ships like 10 Rows and exert so much energy towards like saying that Thasmin isn't a thing. There's so much, it makes me so like, and the thing is, I do understand it's, but I don't want to, because I don't want to be like accusing all these people of queerphobia, because then they'll just get angry at me and say that they're not. But I'm like, the thing is like, I feel like people in general need to examine their biases and like really grapple with themselves and think, why is it that I am okay with the doctor romancing people and having relationships until it's a relationship between two women?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Denial is a hell of a drug. And I'm talking about that like both in relation to Thasmin and in relation to 10 Rows.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of denial going around.
Yeah. And then my question is for people who do say, oh, I don't like Thasmin or 10 Rows, I'm like, okay, but why is the energy coming on so strong when it's all of a sudden a queer couple? Like, why, like, where was this energy? The thing is, it's not, like, for me, it's not that I don't have issues with Chibnall. It's not that I don't have issues with the doctor romancing a companion yet again. My issue is, where was this energy before? Where was this energy?
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, the listeners know we're not quiet about keeping the doctor accountable of all the many things they do that is very wrong. But like, I think there's a massive difference between 10 and Rose and the very particular relationship that they had. And the very particular relationship that the doctor and Yasmin have. Very different power dynamics. Still power dynamics at play, and still with the doctor in a position of power above the companion in a way that can very much be manipulated and abused, but also completely different power dynamics. Mm-hmm. And that's important to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge the difference in those power dynamics. And I think it's important to, again, acknowledge the way that different kinds of internal biases will see these relationships differently based on the people who are in them. Sorry, one last thing before we go. This isn't strictly Galley related. It's tangential to Galley. But one of the things that happened recently is Twitter going all up into a fuss over whether or not the Fugitive Doctor is a major character. Because, and
the answer is yes.
Because the first place I saw it, which I presume is the origin, but there might have been other pockets of places where it was an origin, but the place where it started for me and where I noticed it first, and this is also a recurring thing, is that Nicole had posted a tweet about the panel that Sasha, Amanda, and Joe did, and it was about how there was three major actors, major characters having an interview, and they were all POC. And then there was people commenting about like Major hardly, current hardly, because the era was supposedly over. But the era is not over. Jodie Whittaker is still the Doctor. The 14th Doctor hasn't even been announced yet, unless it somehow gets announced between when we're recording this and when we release it. But Jodie Whittaker is still the Doctor. She still has two more specials to go out. She has not regenerated. The 14th Doctor has not been announced. Like, officially, Chris Chibnall is still, like, the showrunner until he hands over to Russell T. Davies, until Jodie Whittaker, like, regenerates. Like, actually, that may have already been handed over, but like, for the most part, he's still on all the titles of the upcoming episodes. Like, it is mind-boggling to me that people are still trying to like discredit and like,
listen, until the Timeless Child arc is officially wrapped up properly, I'm not talking about Flux here, I'm talking about properly, until that arc is wrapped up, the Fugitive Doctor is still a major player, because that's what the entire, that's how the story's been constructed. So yes, Jodie Whittaker is the Doctor right now. Yes, Jo Martin is the Fugitive Doctor right now. They are both major players.
Yeah, and the thing that is insidious about what people have been arguing is that they're saying that they don't dislike the Fugitive Doctor, but that she's not major because she hasn't had a lot of screen time and because she hasn't been fully developed, and that's why she's not a major character. And I don't understand why people are constantly saying, why people are trying to I wish I didn't understand why people are so consistently doubling down on delegitimizing a Black character.
You know, if the Fugitive Doctor was a white man, we would not be having these issues.
I know. And also, we definitely haven't even seen the last of her.
That arc is 100% still going. It's not finished.
Era is 110% still going. It's not finished. Jodie Whittaker still has two more specials. And if Jo Martin and Sacha Dhawan don't show up in Jodie Whittaker's final episode, I will be shocked. I will be aghast. Like, I will be so shooketh.
If Jo Martin and Sacha Dhawan did not have a Doctor Master face-off, I will be specifically and personally disappointed and writing several angry letters.
Honestly, people are always, and I say people, but there are so many people I've noticed who take so much issue with Chris Chibnall's writing. And like, it's so much, oh, Jodie Whittaker is such a great Doctor, shame about the writing. Listen, people, Chris Chibnall is not a bad writer. This era has not been a bad era. There have been lots of good stories in this era. There have been fantastic arcs for the characters. Like I keep saying, I will die on the hill that Ryan had one of the best arcs of a companion in the show, full stop. And I'm so mad that
I can tell.
This has just turned into me ranting. But we need to wrap this up, so.
Is there anything else you would like to tell me about Galley before I burst with jealousy?
Jo Martin sounds like a fantastic cook, and I want to invite her over to my house to so that we can cook together.
I'll tell you what, we'll set up an interview, we'll have a chat, and then we'll go and have dinner together.
Honestly, it feels weird to be like, I want to invite an actor over to my house because I want her to cook. But no, I want to invite an actor so that she can teach me some of her recipes because they sound so good. She knows a lot of really good vegetarian recipes, okay? Just saying. Anyway.
All right. Thank you for telling me about Gali. I hope that everyone else really enjoyed hearing about it too. It sounded delightful. Thank you for listening to this episode, and you will see us next time, hopefully, I believe, for The Girl in the Fireplace, which we have some very interesting discussions about. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this adventure with us through space and time.
You can find us elsewhere on the internet on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at WibblyPod. Follow us for more Wibbly Wobbly content.
You can find out more information about us and our content on wibblywobblytimeywimey.net and full transcripts for episodes at wibblywobblytimeywimey.net/transcripts.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can also send us an email at wibblywobblytimeywimeypod@gmail.com.
Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and other platforms as it helps other people find us and our content.
If you'd like to support us, you can send us a donation at paypal.me/wibblypod.
Special thanks to our editor, Dee, who has been a vital member of the Wibbly Wobbly team.
That's all for now. Catch you in the time vortex.